Hi everybody, this is Ryan George from the thing you're currently watching. Please enjoy this pitch meeting for The Last Jedi that I made several years ago, and then stick around after because I'm going to talk. I'm going to just say stuff. And while you're doing that, I'm going to draw something Star Wars related. Okay, so we have a lot of great stuff set up from The Force Awakens that we have to pay off in this movie, so let's start with Snoke. What do you have planned for Snoke?
Sure. Well, you know how he was this dark, ominous hologram figure?
Yeah.
Well, in Episode 8, we're going to see him in person, and he's going to be more of like a disfigured old playboy.
He is.
Yeah, and he has like a really flashy gold robe on. It looks like what they probably give you if you rent a suite at a Trump hotel.
Interesting.
Yeah, so overall, he looks like if Hugh Hefner fell face first down an elevator shaft and then they did their best.
And so do we find out more about him as a character?
Oh yeah, definitely. So you know how in the first movie it was like, who is this guy? What's his deal?
Yeah.
Well, in this movie, we confirm that he's like an evil guy.
Oh, okay, saving him for a bigger role in Episode 9.
No, he dies.
He does?
Yeah, Kylo Ren cuts him in half.
Wow, do you think the fans are gonna be disappointed, or?
What do you mean?
Well, I mean, we kinda baited fans for 2 years with questions like, who's Snoke? And now he's dead.
Right, that's what makes it so surprising.
Oh, true, I didn't think of it that way. Plus, it gives more weight to the reveal of Rey's parents.
Oh yeah, about that, they are nobody.
Oh, really?
Yeah, Kylo Ren says he saw it in a vision, so they're dead, they're nobody.
Is he telling the truth?
I don't know, we're just gonna kind of gloss over it.
Okay, so what about the other big cliffhanger?
What's that?
Well, at the end, Rey is handing Luke his lightsaber back. It's like a huge moment.
Oh yeah, well, he just tosses it over his shoulder like garbage.
Oh.
Yeah, and then he squeezes some boobs and goes fishing.
What? Whose boobs?
Just this big alien sea cow with four boobs.
A big alien sea cow with four boobs.
Yeah, and then the alien sea cow with four boobs looks at Rey like, you seen this?
So we're really taking all the stuff that The Force Awakens set up and just throwing it out the window.
Pretty much, yeah. But here's the thing. I don't think JJ actually had answers to those questions.
What makes you say that?
Well, I mean, you've seen Lost.
True. Okay. I see what you're saying.
Yeah, so I figure let's just kind of wipe the slate clean.
Fair enough. Let the past die. Kill it if you have to.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I like that. Can I add that in?
Sure.
Thanks. And oh, actually, there is one big question we are gonna answer in here.
What's that?
How does Kylo Ren look without a shirt on?
Was that a big question?
Don't tell me you've never wondered.
No, I don't think I have.
Well, the answer is surprisingly good.
Well, okay.
Yeah, dude works out.
So what else happens in the movie?
Oh, well, there's a really powerful scene where Kylo Ren, with his shirt on, is gonna kill his mom, Leia.
Like he killed his father.
Exactly, but at the last second, he stops himself.
Wow.
But then it's too late. Leia's command post is hit by another ship from the First Order.
Incredible.
Yeah, and we see her body floating through space, and it's a really beautiful end for the character, because
you should have her fly back.
What?
Leia, have her fly back like Mary Poppins.
But how?
You know Mary Poppins?
Yeah, I know Mary Poppins.
Have her fly back like Mary Poppins.
But how?
She uses the Force? I don't know.
Okay. I mean, I don't really have plans for her for the rest of the movie, but
she could be in a coma. It's cool.
Yeah, no, sure. I'll have her fly back like Mary Poppins.
Awesome, thanks. I really like Mary Poppins.
You're welcome.
So I'm still not getting exactly what this movie is about.
Okay, well basically imagine a car chase.
Yeah, sounds exciting.
Now imagine that chase was happening in space and really slowly.
Right?
So basically that's it. The First Order is waiting for the Resistance to run out of fuel so they can blow them up.
That doesn't sound super thrilling.
It's not. And also the Resistance can't go light speed because the First Order can track them now.
So they just kinda
float around for the whole movie. So then Finn and this new character Rose go on a super long side quest that doesn't work.
It doesn't work at all?
Not even a little. And they go to this casino city and they see like slave children and slave animals.
Oh, that's awful.
Yeah, and they manage to free the animals, so they're like, you know what? No matter what happens, this was worth it.
Not the slave children?
No, they're still slaves.
And what's the deal with this Rose character? Why is she in this?
Well, she's there so Finn can have someone to say funny things to.
Right, makes sense.
Also, at the end of the movie, Finn is gonna make this amazing self-sacrifice and save the day, and she swoops in and stops him.
Why?
Because she wanted a little kiss.
Oh, that's cute, I guess.
Yeah, and it really comes out of nowhere because there was no romantic chemistry there whatsoever.
And she stops him from saving the day. Doesn't that put everybody's lives in danger?
It does. I mean, Luke shows up and saves the day, but she didn't know that was gonna happen.
And what about some of the other characters? What about BB-8?
Well, BB-8 is now a superhero.
Really?
Yeah, he's basically the best fighter in the movie.
Wow.
What about Captain Phasma?
Oh, well, I thought she was really underused in the first movie.
Agreed. So I did that again.
Oh.
Yeah, and also she dies.
Wow.
But we do find out her armor is, like, really strong, like, blaster-proof. How come only she has that armor and not all the stormtroopers?
I don't know.
And Rey? Yeah, she gets a lot stronger in this movie with little to no training or struggle. It's like the classic hero's journey, but you cut out all the middle stuff.
Exactly.
What else happens? We have R2-D2 and C-3PO. They both show up and they're like, Hey, we're in this.
Fan service.
Mm-hmm, and also there's a purple-haired vice admiral that keeps secrets for no reason. And Kylo Ren and Rey slide into each other's force DMs. Okay, now let's talk merchandise.
Okay.
You mentioned BB-8, but I feel like we need something new to sell toys.
Yeah, makes sense.
I know it's gonna be tough to come up with something that people just blindly throw money at.
Actually, super easy, barely an inconvenience.
Really?
Yeah, just what are two creatures that people find cute?
I don't know, seals and penguins.
Perfect, I'll mix those two together and put a bunch of them on Luke's island.
Are you gonna incorporate them into the plot somehow?
No.
Okay, this is fun. What else can we come up with?
Okay, what are some amazing gifts you'd surprise your wife with?
I don't know, maybe a puppy or some jewelry?
Okay, so how about...
There you go. It's a little celestial gunfight going on. Star Wars, you get it? Do you understand the joke?
So, The Last Jedi pitch meeting, this wasn't, this was just verbatim how that actual pitch went, so I didn't have to do much work on this one.
Funny enough, I credit this pitch meeting with the fact that I am still making pitch meetings today, and I will explain. Give me a second, I'm getting to it.
So I've mentioned before, the very first pitch meeting I ever did on Screen Rant was for Justice League. You guys all remember that movie with the superheroes? They would run around and they'd be like, hey, let's start a league of our own. And then there was a bad guy and they were like, come on, hey, stop.
What am I talking about?
So as you remember, that movie was super divisive. You had one side being like, hey, what the hell was that?
And then other people were like, hey, I liked it, I didn't mind it.
And then both sides were like, I disapprove of what you say, but I will defend to the death your right to say it. Remember that? Remember when that happened?
So in the midst of all that online conversation, my pitch meeting for Justice League landed there, you know? It was pretty good timing and it did pretty well.
And Screen Rant had kind of let me give this concept a try with that video. So then it did well and they were like, all right, let's keep going. You know, maybe this works.
There is a thing in online video where, you know, a video does well and then you try to do more, but they don't do as well, and then it all kind of peters out.
And I don't mean that as being offensive to anyone named Peter watching. It's not my fault that your name is also a verb that's like a slow, uninteresting death, right?
That's not on me.
And so after Justice League, I did 5 pitch meetings, and they did okay, but not as great as Justice League did.
So there were signs of future petering.
But then a crazy thing happened where less than a month later, after that crazy divisive movie, this other divisive movie comes out. And everyone's up in arms again. You have one side being like, I didn't like that. Why was Luke squeezing a boob?
And then another side was like, I quite liked the Luke boob grab thing. This is a good movie.
And then both sides were like, love is wise, hatred is foolish in this world that is growing more and more closely interconnected. We have to learn to tolerate each other. We have to learn to put up with the fact that some people will say things we don't like.
We can only live together in that way, but if we are to live together and not die together, we must learn a kind of charity and a kind of tolerance that is absolutely vital to the continuation of human life on this planet.
And so I think because this pitch meeting did very well, less than a month after the first pitch meeting did very well,
that was kind of a sign that this concept could have some legs and I could keep doing it and keep it out of the wet, clammy hands of the Peters of this world, or however petering out works.
Question time.
Hey Ryan, really great job on the content you're doing. I gotta ask, which movie pitch meeting took you the longest to do?
I'd have to say probably Tenet, because that involved me having to understand Tenet.
If you understood Tenet on the first watch, that's great. You know, I'm very proud of you.
But I didn't get it. I had to do research. I had to look at graphs and charts and stuff for me to kind of grasp what the hell that was, and then summarize it in 6 to 8 minutes.
Question, what was ever the purpose or origin of the pitch meetings for actors? I just remembered them and wondered how they came to be.
Those were kind of an attempt to branch out pitch meetings into various avenues, and I did a couple of them and I didn't quite love it.
Creatively, it felt like I was punching up an IMDb page.
Didn't love it, didn't quite make sense conceptually. Why would there be a pitch meeting for that?
And so yeah, the Peters won on that one. They got their, they clammed it up with their wet little pause.
Hey Ryan, really love the show.
Here's my question for the next one. How do you decide what article to use for the end of the videos? Do you decide, or is it suggested by Screen Rant?
Now, Screen Rant doesn't require me to put any articles in particular. Basically, I just look at whatever articles have been written on Screen Rant about whatever movie I'm pitching, and I see which one I could kind of turn into a punchline. It's really as simple as that.
All right, I gotta leave now. I gotta go. So thank you so much for watching this, and if you have questions, please leave them in the comment section. That's very helpful when I'm making these revisited things. I could just read your questions and pick a couple, and that's how it works.
I lifted the curtain on how I make these videos. Why did I do that?
See you soon. Bye.